Spirit here with me. I have a faith that can't be shaken. I have a joy that can't be tamed.
Sing it again, I have a hope.
I have a hope that can't be taken. I have your Spirit here with me. I have a faith that can't be shaken. I have a joy that can't be
saved. Sing it again. Thank you for hope this morning.
I have a hope that can't be taken.
I have your Spirit.
I have your Spirit here with me. I have a faith that can't be shaken. I have a joy that can't be tamed. What more could I gain? I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord in the land of the living. I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord. Strength to face the battle.
You give us life.
You give us life beyond the grave.
Give us freedom.
You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity.
Give us strength.
You give us strength to face the battle. Give us life beyond the grave. You give us freedom now forever. You give us all eternity. What more could I gain? I will see the Lord. I will see the Lord.
Darkest night, even in the fierce. See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me and turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1? And then I want us to go over to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Just a few verses of scripture. James chapter 1. Beginning with verse number 2. Isn't God good? While you're finding that, I just want to say it is so good to have Lisa back in church. She had significant surgery several weeks ago, and it's good to have her and her family back with us. Would you just give her a hand and let her know you're glad to have her here in the house of the Lord? We love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete or perfect, lacking nothing. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 tells us this. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Everybody say, led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Would you just stretch your hand this way and pray with me and for me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that you've given me, this timely message. And I just pray that your Spirit would empower me, would speak through me. I pray that the words that come forth from my lips would be your words today. And that, Father, your Spirit would just settle upon your people, and that your Spirit would take that word and plant it deep into the hearts of your people. They would be able to apply it, Lord, and walk in this word. We just thank you for the power of your Spirit at work. Hallelujah. I declare along with the Apostle Paul this morning, my speech and my preaching, I pray that it would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I pray that it would be of the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that the faith of the people would not stand in the wisdom of men, but it would be in the power of God. That's where our faith seeks to reside today, Lord. It's in your power. It's in your ability. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray all these things and ask together. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I am convinced how you and I view and respond to trials and the wilderness experiences of life will make or break us on this Christian journey. Did you hear that? It's important that you understand that opening statement. I'm convinced how you and I view and respond to trials and wilderness experiences of life will make or break us in this Christian journey. The Lord Jesus did not escape trials when He was here, and we will not either. What makes us think that we're better than Jesus? As a matter of fact, He is our ultimate example, and we are to emulate Him. And He went through trials, He went through tribulations, and He certainly went into the wilderness. And He's called us as well to emulate His example. Here in the book of James, James tells us, first of all, that we are to rejoice in the midst of trials. It also reminds me of that wonderful scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do I have anybody here that's willing to rejoice in the Lord? Whether you're up or whether you're down, whether you feel good or whether you don't feel good, whether things are going well for you or not going well, whether you've had a mountaintop experience this week or whether you've been going through the wilderness, somebody needs to lift up a praise and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, because God is good no matter what you're facing. Hallelujah. God is good. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's asking somebody, He's wanting somebody here today to give Him a no matter what praise. No matter what, He is worthy of my praise. Hallelujah. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. There is an encyclopedia of truth about trials and troubles in this single sentence. Notice that James says, count it all joy when, not if we fall into various trials, but when. It's inevitable. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. But He also followed it up by saying, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Job 5 and 7 that man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, He said in another place in Job, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's just part of life, isn't it? Just as surely as weeds grow in the garden, no matter what you do, the weeds are going to find their way in the garden somehow. How many gardeners do we have out there? Isn't it frustrating? You want your flowers to look good. You want your plants. You want all that. But you got to deal with the weeds all the time. You got to stay on top of it. Most of us have already learned that being a Christian does not exempt you from trouble. Christians get cancer like non-Christians. Christians have heart attacks like non-Christians. Christians lose loved ones just like non-Christians. There is a false teaching, I believe, that's preached in some places that says once you become a Christian, it's all smooth sailing. The truth of the matter is, the better Christian you are and the more that you seek to follow after Jesus, the more severe the trials will be. I'm just telling you, I'm not here to tickle somebody's ears. I'm not here to make you think that it's all going to be great. I'm just here to tell somebody today the gospel truth. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to endure all the way to the end. They that endure to the end shall be saved. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, all who desire to live godly. Is there anybody that desires to live godly here today? All who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. We've got this watered down gospel that's going on today. That it's all going to be mountaintop experiences. That it's all going, there's no dry season. I've actually heard some preachers say, there's no dry season. I don't know what kind of God they're serving. I don't know what kind of life that they're living. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to be in some wilderness places. But that's when you'll know God more than you've ever known Him before. And you'll be able to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. Some of the most godliest and greatest people in the Bible face trouble. So again, what makes us think that we're exempt? Job was a blameless man who feared God and turned away from evil. Yet in one day he lost everything, from family to finances to fortune to fitness to friends. He lost it all. If you read the end of it, you know how God restored him. I understand that, but I'm just telling you that he wasn't exempt. He was blameless. He was an upright man. But that did not exempt him from trouble. Daniel was a man totally committed to God who prayed 3 times a day to the Lord. He would open up the window. He wasn't ashamed of his relationship with God. And all he got for his praying at that time was a free trip to the lion's den. Have you ever felt like no matter what you did, no matter how you sought to do what was right, everything just kind of fell apart around you? Joseph was a man with unquestioned integrity, decency, loyalty, and purity. He refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife. And he was thrown into prison for a crime he didn't commit, even without a trial. The Apostle Paul, he lists the things that he faced in 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. He said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am the more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, he said, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 5 times 39 stripes were placed on his back. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And you and I think we have problems. Sometimes it's all a matter of perspective. You ain't got no problems compared to this. You're sitting here in a beautifully air-conditioned sanctuary, sitting on what I hope is comfortable pews, and you're able to worship God without persecution, without someone coming in here and saying, if you claim God as your Savior, I'm going to kill you right now. I'm telling you, we are a blessed people. You've got something to praise God for. Come on, give Him praise. There are people that have died for the freedoms that you and I are enjoying right here this morning. Sometimes we think we are living godly. When we're living godly, we think that it's strange that we're having to go through some trouble. On the contrary, you ought to think it's strange if you're not going through some trouble. Because 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, people loved by God, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. Isn't that what we do sometimes? Oh, this is strange. I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I'm having to go through this. But how can you rejoice and have joy in the midst of trouble? That's a good question, isn't it? The word for count it, he says, count it all joy. The word for count it literally means to lead ahead or lead with the mind. We would say today to think ahead. You see, the key has to be to focus is not to focus on the trouble, but to focus on the Lord and to focus on what He is going to do in your life as a result of keeping your eyes on Him and your faith in Him in the midst of this trial. For example, Hebrews 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. The joy that was set for Him. Now, it was not the cross that brought joy to the Lord. It was the deliverance of the cross and the resurrection that what it brought into our lives that brought Him joy. As a matter of fact, He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to have to go to the cross. The humanity side of Jesus said, is there any other way? But it was the joy of seeing you and I set free from sin, set free from the bondage of the enemy, being healed of our, in our bodies, hallelujah, being able to spend eternity with Him. That was the joy that kept Him going. Jesus looked ahead of the cross and saw that lives, the lives that would be changed, the marriages that would be saved, the churches that would be built, the sermons that would be preached, and the Father that would be glorified. He was filled with joy. You see, when you are in a trial, lead with your mind and not with your feelings. How many of you know that your feelings can get you in trouble? How you feel can be deceiving. Now, it's important that we don't dismiss our feelings. It's important that we understand them and express them to the right people and the right sources. But your feelings can mislead you. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Because it is with the mind that you can know certain things. That brings us to the second point, the second principle. Remember the meaning of trials. Remember the meaning. There are a lot of things you may never know or understand about a trial that you're going through. But there is one thing that you can know. You can know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Or perseverance. The word for test here is the word that refers to a young bird that would test its wings. It means to prove whether or not something is the real thing, or to test to see whether or not a thing is ready to perform the function for which it was made. Can you just imagine with me that young bird for the first time? It's seen mama do it. It's seen maybe other birds do it, but they haven't tested it yet. Have you ever noticed how so often when people go through trouble, they go through trials, the first thing they do, instead of drawing near to God and the church, they disappear from church. Have you ever noticed that before? Heard about a man who dropped out of church. One day he met up with his pastor and began to relate to the pastor all the tragedies and all the troubles that had come into his life. And he said, Pastor, it was enough to make me lose my religion. The pastor looked at him and said, Brother, it should have been enough to make you use your religion. If our faith is not good enough to get us through the trials of this life, then what good is it? What good is your faith if it's not good enough to help you persevere and to press on when times get hard and times get tough? I'm here to tell you that your faith will help you press on when you don't feel good in your body. Faith will help you press on when you feel discouraged or when you feel down. Faith will say, you know what? I'm going to keep on keeping on because the God who brought me this far is a God who will keep on taking me further to where I need to be with Him. Great things are in store if you don't give up in the middle of the fight. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24 and 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Think about that for a moment. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Anybody can praise God when things are going great. Anybody can have faith that moves mountains when you're on a spiritual high. But what about when your faith is under fire and what you believe has been questioned and the enemy is attacking you and life is throwing all kinds of obstacles in your path? Oh, that's when we need faith in God and faith in one another, and link arms with the church, and link arms with brothers and sisters. That's when we need one another more than ever before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe God is looking for some so much the more. So much the more, people. So much the more. I want to be in fellowship. I want to be in connection with you. And you with me. And with one another. Every trial is a test that is made up of two questions. Every time trouble comes into your life, you need to remember that God is asking you and I two questions. Do you trust me or not? Number one, that's an important question, isn't it? Do you trust God? And the second one is related to it. How much? Because some people only trust God to a certain degree. But what about trusting God with wholehearted abandonment? Without reservation? God, I trust you with my whole life. I trust you with every area, every aspect. I'm not withholding anything back. I'm trusting you with my heart. I'm trusting you with my vocation. I'm trusting you with my family. I'm trusting you with my future. I'm trusting you with my health. It's all yours, God. As you well know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Is there anybody that wants to please the Lord? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Therefore, the stronger the faith, the greater the pleasure it brings to him. So obviously, he's in the faith growing business, which leads to this final principle. We need to realize the ministry of trials. Trials have ministry. When you exercise your faith and trust in God in the middle of a trial, it sets off a chain reaction in your life that can build within you character. Everybody say character. Character and strength of great measures. Closely related to the trial concept is the idea of wilderness. Have you ever been in a wilderness? Perhaps you're in a wilderness right now. Several months ago, a church member gave me this book by John Bevere entitled, God, Where Are You? I encourage you to get a copy of it. And then Sister Margaret Lytle asked me recently about beginning a study on this in Sunday school. That study will begin next Sunday at 10 a.m. So this next part is a preview of what is to come in that class. So just what is a wilderness? Just what is a wilderness? The good news, and I want to read an excerpt of this from the book. The good news is that the wilderness does not have to be a negative time if we are eager to obey God. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but the desert's purpose is quite positive. To train, purify, strengthen, and prepare. I want to say that again. To train, purify, strengthen, and prepare for us a new move of His Spirit, resulting in us becoming more fruitful. Anybody want the Spirit to move in your life in a fresh way? And you want the more fruit in your life? Instead of looking at trials and wilderness experiences as punitive, as if God is just merely out to punish me, because that's the first thing that comes to so many people's minds, is that God is out to punish me. What if we started to view this as God is trying to prepare me? He's trying to get me ready for this next phase of my life. He's trying to get me ready for a new outpouring of His Spirit. What if we started to view it that way? Unknowingly, when entering the wilderness, many people panic. Excuse me. Many people panic and behave unwisely without understanding. They search for and do the wrong things. An example might be a radical change in a career, or changing from one church to another, or any drastic move in their life that they think will bring happiness or restore what was normal. What is normal? For a single person, it might be leaping into a new relationship after a hurt or painful breakup. If you search for an escape route before understanding why God has you in a particularly dry season or situation, you unwittingly will prolong your wilderness time. This may cause more hardship, frustration, and even defeat because you don't understand the season or the place to which God has led you. This was the case of the children of Israel during their 40 years in the wilderness. A lack of understanding of what was happening to them caused an entire generation to be unfit to inherit the promised land. How tragic. God's purpose in leading them to the wilderness was to test, train, and prepare them to be mighty warriors, able to capture and occupy their divine promise, a new homeland. But instead, the children of Israel erroneously perceived the wilderness as punishment. So they murmured, complained, and lusted constantly. When the time came for them to leave the wilderness and conquer and occupy the promised land, after their spies returned and gave the intelligent briefing, the people heeded the evil report of the murmurers and complainers. Given the choice between God's promises and ability and man's perceptions and inability, they chose to believe man rather than God. They bought the lie that they were willing to suffer defeat and not receive their land flowing with milk and honey. Their ignorance of God's nature and character caused them to act wickedly. So God says, in so many words, okay, have it your way. What was to have been a brief wilderness journey of 1 year became a lifetime experience. So he asked this other question. This is one other part I want to read, and then I will try to start closing. He says, does a wilderness visit mean I've really messed up? It makes sense that many of us, when we're in the wilderness season, will ask, what have I done wrong? How did I so displease God? This is a misunderstanding of the meaning and purpose of the wilderness. In the Bible and throughout history, men and women have found the wilderness to be a time of preparation for their destiny in God. So the wilderness is not God's rejection, but His place of preparation. Everybody say preparation. I do think that it's certainly possible to end up in a dry place in life as a result of bad choices. The truth is that no matter how far we have come in being like Jesus, we still have sin to deal with and have the potential to mess up. So it's possible that a really bad decision or a series of not so great choices can put us in a ditch. This is a wilderness of your own choosing because of bad choices that you have made. I'm here to tell you this morning, I'd much rather be in a wilderness because the Spirit of God has led me there than to be in a wilderness because of my bad, sinful decisions. There's a big difference between the two. But here's the truth of the matter. We have a forgiving God and a great high priest who understands our weaknesses. So the first step of getting out of that ditch, or maybe heading toward the exit of the self-inflicted wilderness, is to go to our loving Father and say, Dad, I have sinned by, you fill in the blank. Please forgive me. I repent of my sin, and now by your grace, I seek to live differently. So what I'm saying is that even if you're in a barren place in your life because of some mistakes, get right with the Lord and let Him accomplish what He wants to teach you and move on. Hopefully out of the desert sooner rather than later. How many of you know that we all want to get out of the desert as soon as possible? That's just human nature. But of course, the timing is up to Him. The psalmist writes, my times are in your hand. Having said all that, though, it's most likely you're in the wilderness because it's the precise place God wants you now. You've made no mistakes to bring you to this place of hardship. I know in some ways that makes this experience even harder to deal with. He says, that's one of the main reasons I'm writing this book, to help you understand how God views the wilderness and how much He wants to use it to help us grow and become more like Jesus. Isn't that the goal while we're here, is to grow in our faith and become more like Jesus? Another point that must be understood clearly is that God didn't bring you to this wilderness to abandon you to Satan's devices and forget about you. Before the second generation children of the Exodus were allowed to enter the promised land, God reminded them, remember how the Lord your God led you. This is in Deuteronomy 8 and 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether you would obey His commands. So even though the Israelites had really messed up and way overstayed their wilderness because of their foolishness, their ingratitude, and their rebellion, God was going to turn it all into something good. Isn't that a loving God? That's what He does. And I'm so glad that He's able to take all of the mess in our lives and somehow put it all together and turn it into something good and glorifying and honoring to the Lord. Don't be misinformed. The Lord does not stop working in our lives just because we're in the wilderness. He leads us through it. Everybody say through it. Without Him, we can never make it through. Furthermore, it is not a place in which we are put on a shelf until He desires to use us. That is not the way our compassionate Father operates. On the contrary, it is a place and time during which He works mightily. Hallelujah. You may be familiar with the expression, and I'm almost finished. You can't see the forest for the trees. Well, the wilderness is much the same. It is difficult to see God moving when you are in the midst of it. The important truth must be clearly stated. The wilderness is not a place of defeat, at least not to those who obey God. Hallelujah. To those who seek to obey Him, the wilderness is not a place of defeat. The wilderness is a place of victory. It's a place of preparation. It's a place of getting you ready for a new and fresh move of His Spirit in your life. Does that sound appealing to anybody here? Instead of looking at the wilderness as a place of God punishing me, we need to start looking at the wilderness as a place of God preparing me. We've been going through some wilderness times, even as a church, but could it be that God's trying to get us ready for a fresh move of His Spirit? He's trying to get us ready for the next phase of ministry. He's trying to get us ready for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He's trying to get us ready for ministry in this community and in this city. Somebody help me praise God here. He's trying to get us ready. So let's get ready and move with God. Hallelujah. 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 Let me ask you this as we close. Is the Spirit's leading in your life a good thing? I know it sounds kind of basic and fundamental, but I'm going somewhere with it. Is the Spirit's leading in your life a good thing? If you believe it is, then say amen. Then would you please display for that one more time, Elijah, if you will. Go back to that last scripture, Luke 4 and 1. If the Spirit of the Lord leading us is a good thing, then why do we always have a negative connotation associated with the wilderness? The Bible says Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He had this great experience in the Jordan River. And He heard the voice of the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of the Lord descended on Him like a dove. It was a powerful experience. It was confirming and validating who He was as the Son of God and the ministry that He had been called to. And upon completing that experience, the Bible says He was full of the Spirit and he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. Everybody say, led by the Spirit. Where? Where? Into the wilderness. So why do we always have a negative view of the wilderness? If the Spirit is leading you somewhere, if he's leading you someplace, if the Spirit of the Lord is leading, then isn't that always a good thing? It makes me just want to smile. It makes me want to say, just throw up my hands and say, no matter what, no matter what the situation is, whether it's something I like or don't like, God is at work in me. God is at work in you. And we just have to submit to God in the middle of the wilderness. Submit to him and say, God, teach me what you want to teach me. Help me to learn what I need to learn. Help me to grow. Help me to be prepared for this next phase, this next place that you're calling me to. You see, God is calling you as an individual to a higher place. He's calling you to a deeper depth. He's calling you to move out of your comfort zone to a new place. The Spirit is drawing you. The Spirit is calling you. Will you answer his call? Will you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord? Or will you say, no, Lord, no, Lord, no, no, Lord? That's what some people do. They buck and kick and resist and with everything that's within them and saying, yes, Lord, I'm open to the Spirit's leading in my life. I want to go deeper. I want to go higher. I want to be led by you. However you want to lead, I'm open. Spirit of the Lord, if you join me in that sentiment today, would you just stand with me and make your way to this altar and say as you come, Spirit of the Lord, I am submitting myself to you. Hallelujah. I am submitting to you in the wilderness. Whether you're in the wilderness or you're outside of the wilderness, we're all going to be in it at some point. So just say, Holy Spirit, here I am. I am submissive and I am offering myself to you wholeheartedly without reservation. Lead me, Spirit, because I believe it's going to be good. No matter where you take me, it's going to be for your glory and for my benefit and for the upbuilding of your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you come, just come with hearts of surrender. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am, Lord. I give it all to you. I give all of myself to you. Thank you for preparing me. Thank you for preparing me, Lord. Thank you for speaking to me. Some of you are in a wilderness this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you right in the middle of that wilderness. Hallelujah. He wants to speak to you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Brother Kelly, would you help me pray? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you lift up your hands and give God praise in this place? Hallelujah. Everybody in this place, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. Change my heart. Change my heart. Hallelujah. I feel like the Holy Spirit just said, see it through. Some of you right in the middle of, you're right in the middle of something. He said, I want you to see it through. Don't you give up right in the middle of that situation. You've come too far to turn back now. You've got to see this thing through. I know it's hard and I know it's difficult, but God has called you for such a time as this. See it through. You believe that's a word from the Lord and lift your hands up and receive it. Thank you, Jesus, for that word. See it through. See it through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Holy Spirit, would you stretch your hands this way, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, would you just do me a favor right now? Everybody in this place, just begin to lift up praise. God, I praise you in the middle of this thing. Come on, praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah. Come on, break through with praise. Praise brings breakthrough. I'm telling you, it brings breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Whether you're in the pew or whether you're in the altar, praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. I praise you. I worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for seeing me through. Thank you for seeing me through. Thank you for what you got in store for my life. Hallelujah. There's purpose in the wilderness. Somebody shout that out with me. There's purpose. There's purpose in the wilderness. There's purpose in the wilderness. You're not in the wilderness to die. You're not in the wilderness to give up. You're in the wilderness to press on. You're in the wilderness to persevere. You're in the wilderness to learn something. You're in the wilderness to come out refined as gold, refined in the fire, and all the impurities are coming to the top. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.